I'm Jessica Froud, and I'm your host of Voice Radio This Week. Reporter Meg McLaughlin took a look into this year's performance of The Dollhouse performed by Langara Studio 58.
On March 15th, Langara College announced that they are closing their doors and transitioning to online learning, following suit with much of the country and the world. The next day, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau speaks to Canadians with an earnest warning.
As much as possible, need your help. Your neighbors need your help. Vulnerable people in the community need your help. Things will get better. Stay home.
It's as though the country's marquee light switches off. The country's on lockdown, and on the same day, Langara and Studio 58 announced they are canceling the upcoming performances of Four Play 2020, a series of one-act plays featuring students' original work. Flash forward a long 6 months, and it's fall. Students are back in the classroom. Well, sort of. And Studio 58 decides to come out with a premiering performance like no other. They announced the fall lineup of shows will be free and online for audiences to enjoy. The first show being Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House. Now, A Doll's House was written in the late 1870s. Set in the Victorian era, the play depicts a married woman, Nora Helmer, who is not afforded the opportunities for self-fulfillment without the signature of her husband. And over the last 150 years, this play has been performed with countless interpretations. And with the restrictions of COVID forcing the director, Lara Sadiq, to come up with unique ways to tell the story, this is sure to be the first for Ibsen's famous play. I was able to sit down with cast members Mackenzie Page and Vuk Protanovic and ask them what it was like to rehearse and perform the show all within the new COVID safety measures.
I was very lucky that our director and our stage management team had a very clear safety plan going into it, so we didn't have to worry as much about the figuring out how to be safe, more just how do we integrate our work into being safe. It was difficult. It's so difficult to not be able to have any props or touch your scene partner or
sets or props. The cast costumes consist of white t-shirts and blue jeans. On the extremely sparse blank set, there is one circle measuring 2 meters in diameter right at center stage, with a larger rectangle surrounding it. This becomes the battleground for the balancing act Mackenzie speaks of. And bordering these shapes are 9 safely spaced boxes for each cast member to stay in while they're not performing a scene in the rectangle. Another adjustment the cast had to make was wearing these unique resonance masks. Whenever an actor was not in the scene, they would wait in the visible offstage boxes until they returned to the center stage to deliver their dialogue. At the beginning of the show, the cast performs a version of the song Evangelina, originally written by the Canadian band White Horse. The cast sings and plays accompanying musical instruments, including a violin and trumpet. And with the exception of the trumpet, the entire cast performs while wearing the custom-made masks. Director Lara Sadiq had the idea to put the lyrics of the song written on the back wall just in case the masks hindered audiences from hearing the important words that echoed the feminist themes of the play. I asked Vuk and Mackenzie what it was like performing with these masks on.
Hugh Hackman, from my knowledge, is a working professional in Vancouver, and at the time of quarantine said, hey, I should make a little business for the singers in my life that want to have space to move their mouth and sing safely. So that's exactly what it was. It's a normal mask made with a little 2-inch slit on the top and bottom that kind of protrudes it, and then plastic sticks would hold it up. So you just have a little bit more breathing room so you can articulate a little bit more and project a little bit more. They did a good job definitely like giving more space to like move my mouth and stuff. They made all of us look like robots, basically, like robot ducks.
Under this dark cloud of COVID, the cast and crew were able to do what artists do best: shine a positive light and transport the audience to a different world through the art of storytelling. In a theater with only 105 seats, suddenly the Vancouver production had twice that on opening night, and as it stands now, the performance has almost 2,000 views, reaching audiences from across Canada and Toronto to all the way in Brazil. More people tuned in than any other Studio 58 performance. Some of the cast, although desperately wanting to go back to live full houses and sold out venues, also think this is an opportunity to enhance how art is presented.
Like, I think we should next be doing closed captions with it. I think we should be having the discussion of lower ticket prices for maybe a live stream recording of it for those of us whose parents can't come.
watch shows like Hamilton this summer, it's clear that accessibility dictates how we, the audience, get to experience art. And while there is no substitution for sitting in a live theatrical performance, be it ballet, opera, concert, or play, and no sign of that tradition returning anytime soon, we have to find ways for these actors to act. The show must go on, now more than ever. Be sure to check out the Studio 58 website for more upcoming performances that, for free or a small donation, you can enjoy from the comfort of your home.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast on Studio 58's The Dollhouse. I'm Jessica Froud for Voice Radio. Hello, I'm Jessica Froud for Voice Radio. Reporter Catherine Witta digs deeper into the transition from in-class to class online using Zoom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Voice Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Witta. In this episode, I'm going to be investigating how Langara students have been dealing with the administration's COVID-19 restrictions in regards to them changing the way students learn from in-class to online Zoom classes. To gauge how students are feeling about the change in Langara's educational structure, I visited the campus to interview some students. Jen Bow, a first year in the registered massage therapy program, a major which is more hands-on, shared with me some of the challenges she's facing this year with online classes.
It's odd because our in-person classes, we're splitting into two groups. So our cohort is split. And then we have a teacher's aide in one classroom and the teacher, the instructor, is in the other. And then they're patching through and doing a Zoom through the internal system that Langara has. And some of the sound quality, some of the technical stuff with that is a little bit difficult. So if there was maybe a better system for doing that, technically it's not the online portion, but for the in-person classes, just to make it a little bit smoother for the TAs and the instructors themselves.
Melanie Hutchinson, also a first year in the registered massage and therapy program, commented about the lack of hands-on training within the program this year.
I definitely prefer in classroom. I chose a program that was literally on hands, manual skills. So I'm having a hard time with different Zoom. On teachers that use like breakout rooms, so kind of forces you to be engaged in class. I find people are definitely have their cameras on more and are more engaged, whereas teachers who choose to just talk and read a PowerPoint slide, usually people probably are napping through it.
So, is there a possible way that students can gain support or techniques to help them cope with this new normal of Zoom class and online learning? Likewise, Patricia Sia, Director of Academic Innovation at Langara, shared with us some sources students can check out if they are having difficulties with classes.
There is a virtual learning support page if you're on the main Langara homepage. And one of the tiles is a virtual learning support tile. If you don't see it right away, just use the arrow to scroll over to it. And there's lots of tips and links to workshops there. At the top of that page, the virtual learning support page, is a navigation bar, and it says online learning tools. If you click on that, that has lots of help for Zoom, Brightspace, and just other information that can help everyone.
As long as faculty support and maintain consistent contact with students and teachers, navigating through the medium of online learning and Zoom class will become more easier. Zoom class will never be at the same caliber as in-class learning, but could be as informative as traditional learning.
We have a caddy with a sterilizer bottle, so like any equipment that they use, they spray down and wipe down with cloths.
Milos Campbell, an instructor in the Fine Arts Department, explains how on-campus learning has changed because of the pandemic.
Okay, this is your weekly checklist. These are the things you need to have done before you arrive, right? And then this is what you're doing, and then next week, right? So it's really clear, and it's very structured, where normally it would be much more freeform.
Milos also comments on how she feels Zoom is affecting those programs that aren't on campus.
I think the negative outcome really is community, because as you know, like Langara, we all have a community, and the students are missing that, because even in a breakout room or something like that, they're losing that connection with their peers, which is a huge part of how they learn.
Thank you for tuning in to Voice Radio. As the world endures a pandemic, the majority of programs remain online for now. I'm Jessica Froud with Voice Radio.
This is Catherine Mita from The Voice. Thank you for listening and see you next time.